The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
The smell of paraffin from the fire jugglers is one thing on Grafton Street, the sounds another. Our reporter Shifra Mulqueen has been exploring the sounds of Dublin at Christmas.
Hi, my name is Robert MacDonald. I'm the ringing master of St Patrick's Cathedral. And these bells are very special to us, because 10 of them were donated by Edward Guinness back in the 1890s, and the sounds are absolutely superb. And there's no more practice than normal, but there's more pressure because more people in the public are listening to us, and so we're mindful of that. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, then on New Year's Eve, so we have to stay up until 11:30 on New Year's Eve. While everybody is partying, we will then ring in the bells for the New Year.
In St Patrick's Cathedral, bell ringers are doing their weekly practice ahead of Christmas. Jason Lynham is one of them.
I've been ringing for about 6 years now. The walk up the tower in itself, I think in St. Patrick's there's 74 steps to get up to the ringing room. You know, you're stepping into a space that has been ringing bells for centuries. It's kind of funny because it's usually, you know, people are going up and you get to the top and you just hear the, okay, just take a break now. But yeah, you do eventually get used to it. When I say to people, oh, I'm a bell ringer, there's always usually, sorry, a what? And people do think, well, sure, they're all automatic. What do you mean? What, do you just press a button? No, it's like the Mars ad with the monks. You know, you're there with your ropes and your bells. The heavier the bell, the deeper the sound. There's two parts of the rope. So there's the sally and there's the tail end. What you do then is you shorten the length of the rope, and that then will speed up the bell, or you can grab the rope a little bit lower, that can slow it down. You have a conductor. The conductor makes a call which changes the order of the bells. Once that bell has come over the balance and gravity takes over, there is, you know, a bit of a rush and a bit of anxiety there that, okay, grand, we've started now. You know, you've got that beautiful, clear, crisp chime of a lighter bell, and then that's answered by this, you know, deep bassy boom of the heavier bell. You feel the tower, you know, shaking with the power of the bells, but even as you're ringing, you know, you can feel it in the ropes. You know, you can feel the sound physically reverberate in your chest every time you pull the rope. You know, it could be so mindful. You can just leave everything at the tower door and you just immerse yourself in the bells. For service ring, you'd probably ring up to about 15 minutes max, you know, and then you've got peals. These are the ultra marathons of bell ringing, you know, so these can go on for 3 or 4 hours. You know, if you're in a rhythm and a routine for that long, you know, it can get quite trance-like. Traditionally, when you're ringing the bells, you start at the lightest bells and you continue around to the heavier bells. But what we do in St. Patrick's on New Year's Eve is we reverse it. You do it really quickly, and it's done in such quick succession, and it makes this beautiful kind of trump, that, you know, rush of that sound. It just sings New Year's Eve. That sound, it can nearly physically lift you. I think you do find at this time of year there's a beautiful clarity to the sound of the bells in that frosty winter air. You just think Christmas, you think bells, you know, and you might not be conscious of them. But I think if they weren't there, I think people would notice.
Sports sock, 6 pairs for €5.
I would have probably started selling probably about 50 years ago, 60 years ago. You know, just helping my mother. It wouldn't be my cell, it would be Ma's. And we'd be selling tights and tea towels and jackets and anything, sweets. That was up in Thomas Street. And then we moved down to, at Christmas, we'd go down to Henry Street. I would have been selling decoration chains and balloons and Christmas lights.
The Massey family owned the Cutprice Jewellers on Mead Street in the Liberties. They come from generations of street traders. Patty Massey started trading over 60 years ago, and she spoke to me along with her son Fran and granddaughter Caitlin.
Yeah, there's definitely an art to the call. You know, we were taught that if you half-heartedly do it, they're just not going to pay attention to you. So you have to give it a roar. It has to come from your belly. down deep in you. Put a bit of heart into it, you know what I mean? Make the people hear you.
It's nearly like a bit of a song, you know, that you just get used to saying it.
As me granny said there, you don't even realise that you're saying it. It just comes off the tongue. I remember I used to be standing there talking to her and you'd be mid-conversation and she'd just start shouting.
You could be saying the same thing, but making it sound different. So one minute you'd be saying, wrapping paper, 5 for 50. And then the next one you could be saying, 5 rolls of wrapping paper, 50 pence. You know, then it could be, balloons are long decoration chains, Christmas trees are wrapping paper. You know, and then someone else would take over, me ma'd jump in.
Balloons are long decoration chains, stars are tinsel.
5 sheets for 20.
Wrapping paper, 5 sheets for 20.
And you know, we'd be bouncing it around between us.
It would be like everybody had their own chorus in a song, and as one person's ending, another person would take it away there with another call in a different tone, maybe higher, maybe lower.
Would you find you'd nearly get sick of your own voice then when you were doing it all day?
Absolutely fed up. Absolutely. Or maybe someone besides that device would go through your brain, not realising yours is going through theirs. There would be competition.
When it was on in the daytime, that's it, it was on. You'd stand on your granny to get a sale. You know what I mean? So we'd have to kind of find our spots around the street. Coincidentally enough, I used to sell outside where my shop is now on 25 Meat Street. So I used to stand outside that when I was maybe 7 or 8 years of age, maybe 8. I would have wrapping paper, you know, and you'd be saying, get your wrapping paper, 5 sheets for 20.
Would your voice be sore after it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Not as sore as when I'm roaring at my husband.
Would there be any kind of like cheeky phrases that you'd use to get people's attention?
Yeah, I think I remember my brother, he used to say, do you want a box? And if people was walking by and they'd look back and say a box of sweets, a box of crackers, just to get their attention.
You know, with people, you had to have the crack and have the banter. You keep talking to them and all of a sudden it's like, well, what have you got?
Was there kind of a strategy behind that?
Yeah, it was just to get people to come over. If they heard you, like people probably be on the other side of the road and be talking, wouldn't notice you. But if you're shouting...
If you get their attention, you're halfway to getting a sale. Well, don't you know they'll be using the kids to get sales? The poor old kid, ah, jeez, look at them, oh, I'll have to buy something off them, you know what I mean? Yeah.
He used to have me out with a tray of watches. I was about 6 years of age, Christmas time, nose red like Rudolph, freezing. It's either in you or it's not, I think.
It's lovely to hear when you go down to Henry Street, everybody's shouting, roaring and all, and it just brings back a lot of memories.
There's a lifeline there. It's kind of an unwritten thing, but everybody kind of knows. You know, the shouting has started. Christmas has arrived. The buzz is here. I say, it's like Meat Street. I always say it's a living, breathing thing. You know, you can't really explain it, but you just know.
Well, the sound I love the most is the ringing of the tills.
In shops across Dublin, the Christmas atmosphere is in the air. I visited Louis Copeland's shop on Capel Street.
December is the time for wrapping up. Getting the boxes ready and the rustle of the paper and the tying of the bows and a lot of alteration, slacks being shortened and the steam rising and the whirring of the sound of the machines going is music to my ears.
In retail, do you enjoy the Christmas music or does it kind of grate on the brain a little bit?
No, I like the Christmas music, but some of the songs I don't like. I mean, you know, I'm not really a fan of Mariah Carey. Actually, I prefer more Messiah than Mariah. Yeah, one of the songs my mother would have sang was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Let your heart be light.
My mother was in the Pantos on the Gaiety all those years ago, and she would have been a backing singer. Just put her in a room and she would sing jazz songs and get somebody to play the piano. You wouldn't have to ask her. She'd just jump up herself and sing. When she was singing, I mean, she wasn't shy. I mean, you know, she'd be in her own little world and just singing away. So when I hear those songs, it reminds me of my mother. You know, it just brings you back. My memories of getting up early in the morning and running down and seeing all the presents there. Excitement. And now to see the grandkids doing the same thing.
The actual sound of busking and street musicians goes all the way back to medieval times. there were minstrels, there were people walking around Dublin playing music.
Historian Dr. Nicky Carter takes us back in time to what Dublin would have sounded like in the past.
Newspapers were sold in the streets since the 1700s, so it's a really old trade shouting on O'Connell Street. There was no real advertisements. Advertisements were expensive, so to sell your wares, you had to shout. Bakers and butchers shouting out of the doors about their wares, that with the flower sellers. In actual fact, it would have been quite difficult to walk down the street and have a conversation. So early Grafton Street would have been dominated by hooves. Trams added kind of a regular clank and a wheel-on-track rhythm. When they turn, they creak. There's a rumbling, there's a ding-ding, there's a whoosh. Bells went out to call to mass. During Christmas, you would have heard those bells constantly. And there would have been deliveries of live turkeys. There was a mart where they sold cattle in Phoenix Park. During the Victorian era, you would have heard a lot of carols being sung from door to door or even in parks or at the top of streets. And they were usually singing things like Silent Night, Holy Night. Sometimes they would have also had fiddles with them. They might have had a little drummer. When you look for it, you can see it. And I think you can hear the buildings talking to you. If you listen very carefully, you can hear the history of the city, because there's always that sound that is always going to be there from an old church that was built in 1707 or a building that still has a door that was there in the 1800s. When you walk past Bewley's and you think how many people used to go in there and have their coffee and cake with their mum at Christmas, they're all there and they're still creaking. That's history.
That's part, I think, of the, you know, the calling of being a bell ringer as well, is passing on the skills. You know, if you're walking through Dublin today and you hear the bells ringing out, you know, that is the same sound and the same bells that have been heard in the city for centuries. Whilst the other sounds around the city might have changed, you know, with traffic and seagulls, you know, that sound of the bells has remained constant. It's almost like a heartbeat. It's a rhythm of the city. It's that beating pulse that resonates out, and we're still ringing them, and we won't stop ringing them. And hopefully that, you know, generations after us will continue to ring them.
Shifra Mulqueen reporting, such beautiful imagery there.